Let me say something before I get started. I never done really this before, but as I was sitting over there, this thought came to me, and you don't have to raise your hand or anything, but if you want prayer later, we'll be glad to do it. But somebody, I believe, in this building at some point this past week thought about maybe ending your life, that you thought about it would be easier to just check out. And let me tell you, that is not the answer. That is so not the answer, because if when you check out, when you say, if you take your life and you do away with your life, the next breath you take will be in hell, because the Bible talks about this. And I'm telling you right now, that is not the answer. That will make things worse. You'll go from the frying pan into the fire, literally. Jesus is the answer. The answer is in the building this morning. He's got all the answers you need. If you've got questions, he's got every answer. And if there is someone in here that this has gone through your mind this week, please feel free to talk to me after church. I would be glad to talk to you, and I'll show you scripture about how you can be an overcomer, and how that the Lord Jesus Christ will, once he comes into your life, is a life and more abundantly. Hallelujah. If you would get your Bibles. This morning, I don't know if I've ever preached on this ever before, but I'm going to talk to you this morning about the Good Samaritan. And Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?" That's kind of like him saying to us, "What's in your Bible? What's your understanding of it?" You know, Jesus might ask you one of these days, "You've been reading the Bible?" I heard about a man, a doctor, who accidentally, he was moving into a new house, and he fell off the balcony and went headlong into cement a long ways down, and they rushed him to the hospital. They pronounced him dead. He was a born-again Christian, and they pronounced him dead, and he went to heaven. And when he was in heaven, he kept asking these questions, and God kept saying to him, "Didn't you read my word? Did you read my word? Did you read my word?" Makes you want to read the word. But anyway, he came back. They prayed for him. He came back, and he was able to write a book and share this with us. So he said, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? This is what Jesus said to him. So he answered, and he said, he's quoting scripture here, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, Jesus said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live." Wow. But he, this lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, that same road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side." Likewise, a Levite, which is also a religious man, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, the lawyer, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." I was reading a story about a little boy. It said there was a little lame boy was once hurrying to catch a train, and in the press of the crowd, he experienced a real difficulty in manipulating his crutches, especially as he was carrying a basket full of fruit and candy. As the passengers rushed along, one hit the basket by mistake, knocking the oranges and apples and the candy bars in all directions. The man who caused the accident paused only long enough to scold the little crippled child for getting in his way. Another gentleman, seeing the boy's distress, went to help him. Quickly, he picked up the fruit and added a silver dollar to the collection, saying, I'm sorry, boy. I hope this helps out a little bit. And with a smile, he was on his way. The young boy, who had seldom ever been the recipient of such kindness, called after the good Samaritan in gratitude and awe, saying, "Mister, please, sir, are you Jesus?" "No," replied his newfound friend, "I'm only one of his followers." So too, the people whose lives we touch need to see the Lord in our acts of compassion and Christian kindness. You know, we talk a good game sometimes about we love people, but sometimes, you know, they'll say in action speak louder than words. I also read a little story about a young teenage boy who was in love, okay? And he wrote a note to his girlfriend. He said, "I would climb the highest mountain for you. I would wade the deepest river. I would swim the largest ocean just for you. And if it doesn't rain Saturday night, I'll see you." That's conditional love. So we see here in the story of the Good Samaritan how a lawyer comes to Jesus, not really seeking revelation from him, because as verse 25 says, he came to test him. He was probably trying to trip Jesus up, because if he could trip him up enough, the crowd was known to turn on him. He would turn on him. But Jesus took care of that. Notice the question that this lawyer asked. He said, and it didn't just have to be a lawyer. This could be anybody doing this. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Notice what he said. "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" See, to him, salvation came by works. He thought God might accept him if he worked hard enough and if he was good enough. I went through that. I did. I went through a thing where I felt like I had to be good enough. I had to work hard enough. I had to be good enough. And I stopped in my kitchen one time, and I said to him, I said to the Lord, I got to do more. I've got to be good enough. I've got to. And I heard a voice come back to me. The Lord spoke to me and said, "How much is that? How much is that?" And I didn't know. I didn't know how much good enough was. How good do you have to be for Jesus Christ to love you? He says to the sinner, to the rawest sinner, to the sinner who has committed murder, to the sinner who has done heinous crimes, he says, "Come just like you are. Come to me. And I will give you rest." That's what Jesus says. Too many times, people want to put restrictions on how to be a Christian. Well, you need to do this. And then sinners are so shook up about wanting to come to the Lord, they think they've got to get better before they can come to Jesus. They think they've got to quit sinning before they come to Jesus. That would be like trying to get well before you go to the hospital. If you could get better on your own, you wouldn't need to go to the hospital. It's the same way with the Lord. He says to come just like you are, sins and all, and he would take care of your sin problem. Because if you could do something about it, you probably already would have done it. And you can't do it. You can't be good enough. Isn't that good news? You're never going to be good enough to get to heaven on your own. It's going to take a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to make it to heaven. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor or heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He didn't say, come unto me and let me beat you up a little bit more. Come here to me and let me beat you over the head for all them bad sins you did. I know what you said last week. I know what you did last week. I know what you all that went on in that car. I know all of that kind of stuff. He doesn't say that. He said, come just like you are. And he said, I'll take care of the sin problem. When you come to Jesus Christ and you repent and you say, Lord God, I have sinned. And you repent and you say, I have sinned and I repent of this. Then he covers you with his blood. And when you stand before Almighty God Jehovah, he doesn't see you. He sees the blood of Jesus that covers you. And there now you're looking perfect. You're looking good. Not because of anything you did, but because of what Jesus did. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, he's a good God. He's good. He loves you. He loves everyone. He does. I shared this Wednesday night, and that is, there's some churches that teach election, or they teach predestination, that only certain people will be saved. How frustrating would that be? Because you're sitting there going, am I one of the ones? You know, me? And I studied, I looked about that, and I thought about that. And then I read this scripture. For God so loved the world. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The whosoever. We got any whosoevers in here? Every one of you is a whosoever. The whosoever would come to him would not perish, but have everlasting life. He does not discriminate against you. He said, whoever comes to him, and he in no wise would turn you out. He would not deny you if you will come to him. So, so now he says, in verse 27, the scripture that the lawyer quoted said that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind. We need to have, this talks about love the Lord your God. So that means having a personal relationship with God. Not your mom's God, not your grandma's God, your Jesus, your Savior. You need to have a personal relationship. Do you know how many mornings I get up and say, hey, Jesus, it's me and him. I talk to him going down the road. I talk to him while I'm washing the dishes. I talk to him while I'm doing the laundry. I talk to Jesus all the time, me and him. It's a personal relationship, and he wants that with every one of you. He does. He paid the price for it. So he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he also said, and that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Do you know how much you love yourself? It's a lot. Come on, think about it. We feed ourselves. Good. I don't believe every one of you have had hot dogs every day this week. Somewhere around this week, one of you has had a steak. Me. Some of you have had pork chops. Some of you have had fried chicken. And you've had other stuff. You have not eaten hot dogs all week. You haven't eaten crackers all week. Has anybody had meat all week? Any kind of meat? Yes. All right, all you veggies, vegetarians, you're whatever, you're okay. He says that we should love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we love ourselves. We clothe ourselves. Everybody here, you look really nice this morning. So you take care of yourselves. I don't see not one of you dressed in a burlap bag. Mm-hmm. We have nice places to live. We buy nice things for our homes. We even go to fun places. We buy recreational things. I would like to buy a scooter. Not the kind you do with one foot. I mean the motorized scooter. Can you see me doing that with one foot up and down my hill? No, I'm going to buy me one of them big. Well, anyway, we treat ourselves good. And all of these things are okay. It's okay for you to have good food. It's okay for you to have nice clothes. Yay for you. Praise God for it. But it just goes to prove that we do love ourselves quite a bit, wouldn't you say? And the scripture says that we are to love who? Our neighbor as ourselves. Wow, that's a lot of loving. And if we loved others the way we loved ourselves, it would change our corner of the world. It would impact your workplace. It would impact your schools. It would impact your family. If you started loving your family as you, I didn't even think about that. Let me stop right there for a minute. If we started loving our families like we loved ourselves, that would impact marriages. That would impact how you get along with those teenagers and your children. Sometimes teenagers, they could come across like their eyes glaze over. I've seen that look. You know, their eyes glaze. You're talking to them. You're pouring your heart out to them. And their eyes glaze over like, I see you, but I am turning you off. Talk to the hand because I'm not listening. Keep on talking, though, because they really do hear you. But, you know, and I don't want to embarrass our teenagers, but I believe that what they really do want you to love them and respect them. And just keep on loving them. Just keep on loving them. Even when they act goofy, keep on loving them. Love their children. Keep on loving them. And because they really do need that. So if we start, and if we loved our families as we love ourselves, it will impact your family. You say, well, I need 30 minutes in the bathroom. He only needs 10. Love as you love yourself. If you get 30 minutes, they get 30 minutes. Oh, I'm meddling now. I can just see it. If you've got a place where you hide your stash of candy, they get one. Oh, you don't think I know about that stash of candy? I know about that. I think it's safe to say that we do love ourselves. And 1 John 4:20 through 21, the Bible says, if someone says, I love God, but he hates his brother, he's a liar. For if he does not love his brother, who you can see, how can you say you love God, who you have not seen? It's impossible. God says, don't be going around saying you love me if you hate your brother. I was not allowed growing up to even use the H word, hate. I'm not kidding you. There were some words that I was not allowed to use, and hate was one of them. I never, if I were to hear one of my, somebody in my church or one of my children, one time, I'm wrong. None of my children never said that to me, ever. Because I told them, I'm too good to you for you to ever say that to me. But I did hear a little girl one time. She was just a little girl, and she said to her mother, she told her every day, I hate you. I hate you. I hate you. And so I pulled her aside, and I loved on her, and I talked to her, and it helped somewhat. But then later on, I did find out, though, that this, no reason, no wonder why the little girl was doing that. The mother was into all kind of stuff and coming to church and putting on a good face, and it was confusing the child. But anyway, you know what? We can't go around saying, I love God, but I hate you. It doesn't work. It will not work. And I love the scripture, and John says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It's in John 13, 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples. How will people know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ? By how many spaghetti dinners you come to? By how many times you come to church? By how much money you put in the offering? All those things are good. But that's not how people will know that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. He said, this is how they will know, by how you love one another. That's how they're going to know. So we see this lawyer trying to kind of take up for himself, ask Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who knows? Maybe this lawyer wasn't being so good to his neighbor, and that's why he was trying to justify himself. So let's look real quick at how Jesus answers him with this parable of the Good Samaritan. Notice in verse 30 that a man was on his way to Jericho, and he was on a very dangerous stretch of road. This is known to be a dangerous stretch of road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And when a band of thieves jumped him, beat him up, stripped him of his clothes that he wore, and left him half dead. That's a bad day, right? That's a bad day. So this guy is laying on the side of the road half dead. He's probably groaning. And you could just tell to look at him that he's in bad shape. And you'll see in verse 31 how a priest comes walking down the road, the same road. So he's walking down the road. He's there. He's walking, you know, it's probably a dirt road, going down the road. He looks over, and he sees this man half naked, half dead, and keeps on going. There's something wrong with that. He had religious things he needed to do. Ooh. You can get so religious that you can miss the big picture. The big picture is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The big picture is that God wants us to walk in love more than anything. And so, but he had religious things that he had to get done. So he just walked right on by, looked over at him. Too bad. And kept right on going. It's wonderful that you come to church. Thank God. We love it. We applaud it. This is where you're fed. This is where you're encouraged in your Christian walk. This church is like a gas station where you pull in. Some of you drift in on fumes and get refueled to go back out into the harvest field. Oh, you know you do. I've done it. We've all drifted in here on fumes on Sunday morning. But you get refueled. You get recharged. And that's why you're here. And that's a good thing. But as you know, there are many people who didn't come to church this morning, right? And they're hurting. And they're living in sin. And they don't know what to do. They need answers. What are we going to do about them? Sometimes, you know, just telling them a good word, a kind word, goes a long way. But then sometimes you have to roll up your sleeves and get involved. I believe I shared this, but let me share it again. My niece, Brandy, she's the youth pastor at a church close to Baltimore, and she does the middle school kids. And she started off with like 5, and now she's got like 25 or 30. And one of the boys called her up and said, Miss Brandy, he said, can you just tell me how to wash some clothes? And she said, well, what? And he said, well, my mama left last night. She left us, 4 children and a husband who was devastated. The husband was inconsolable. The children were trying to figure out what to do, and the husband was in the corner crying. And their clothes were piled up. And this was a very nice home, it was a very well-to-do family. And she said, are you telling me that there's nobody there, there's no woman there to help you? So you know what she did? She gathered up some women in the church. They went into that house, and they did laundry for 8 hours. They cleaned that house, and one of the women sat down with the husband and started teaching him how to take care of his checkbook, started teaching him how to pay the bills because she did all that. Guess who came to church the next morning? The father. The father. He went up to the altar, and he got gloriously saved. But it didn't stop. They didn't stop. They kept on ministering to this family. They kept on loving this family. Guess who showed up again? The mother. The mother. She saw love in action. You can say to people all day, I love you. I love you with the love of the Lord. Oh, I love you. Oh, I love you. But back it up with action. Back it up. I dare you. I double dog dare you this week to back it up. Do something. If you got to get out there and just roll your sleeves up a little bit, there might be some young mother that just needs an hour away from the children. And if you just say, you know what, I'll take care of your kids. I'll watch them. I'll take care of them. They'll be in good hands. You go over there and here's a gift card to McDonald's. You go get you a Big Mac and a big coffee and just sit there and just unwind and just take it easy. Oh, you need to go to the library? Go ahead. Go. I'll take care of your children. Is that love in action? Yes. You can even do that for your family. Sometimes your family I know Melody comes every now and then. She has a dazed look in her eyes like, I need help, you know. And I tell her, here, Garrett, you know, I just take the kids and go, you know, go get some coffee and get back in your right mind. You know coffee does that for you, right? Especially Starbucks. Anyway, so then we see where a Levite saw the injured man. He was also a religious man. This guy did some rubbernecking. You know what rubbernecking is? There's an accident on the side of the road, and you're driving along, and you're driving. You're just kind of like, what happened over there? And you just got to keep driving, right? And then all of a sudden, the traffic breaks loose, and you're able to fly down the road again. Why? Why was it so slow? Because everybody was looking, but nobody was stopping. There's a lot of that going on in the Christian world, too. Got a lot of looking, a lot of feeling sorry for people, but no stopping. We don't know why he didn't stop. Maybe he was afraid for his own safety. I mean, because he's on the same road as this guy that got beat up. Maybe he thought those robbers would come back. I don't know, but he did not stop. Now, here comes the Good Samaritan. I feel like he should have like a cape on his back or something, you know? He's full of compassion. When he sees a stranger who is near death on the side of the road, the thing is, though, now this is what you got to understand. He was a Samaritan. This guy was a Jew, and they hated each other. Their races hated each other. But you know what? When he looked at this guy on the side of the road, he didn't see a Jew. He saw an injured man. He saw somebody that needed help. And so he went to him. Let's notice what he did. First, he stopped and he went to him. Second, he bound up his wounds to ease his pain. Third, he poured oil and wine into his wounds, which was like a disinfectant. He put the man on his own donkey that he was riding on, so that meant that now he had to walk the rest of the way of his journey. He provided rooming for him and the basic necessities. He paid for this guy's room while he went on a trip and back. And he said to the innkeeper, he said, now put anything that he needs, put it on my tab. You know, now I'm going to say something here. I don't understand people who are against prosperity. I got to tell you, because this guy must have been prosperous. He was prosperous enough to help him pay all his bills, keep him in that place, and pay somebody to take care of him. And you say, some people are like, I don't believe in that prosperity message. Well, I feel bad for you. I really do. Because it's not all about you anyway. I'm getting mad now. I tell you, I heard about this missionary that kept getting the letters from the United States saying, don't be listening to that prosperity message. Now, don't you be listening to that prosperity message. That's not for what we believe. And by the way, P.S., don't expect any funds from us this week because we can't afford it. I can't understand that. Don't believe in the prosperity message, but don't expect nothing from us either. You know, prosperity doesn't mean that you get money and you just go out and buy Cadillacs and all that stuff. That means that God will supply your need and some left over to help somebody else. If you get a Cadillac, though, we will rejoice. But I'm just saying, that's not what it's all about. He took care of him and looked after him personally and made sure that somebody would take care of this man. This man, this Samaritan, this good Samaritan, he went the second mile. He did. Notice in verses 36 and 37, Jesus asked this lawyer, so which one of these was his neighbor? He threw it back at him. He said, so you tell me, which one of these guys was his neighbor? The lawyer answered and said, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus looked at him and said, and I think what he said to this lawyer, he would say to every one of us today, go and do thou likewise. He's still saying that today. It is so important to know, it's so important to see here that Jesus wants us to love our neighbors. Who is your neighbor? Who is it? Everyone. Everyone is your neighbor. Now, I'm going to give you something I saw. I ran it past a few people this morning. They said it was okay. I hope I don't offend anyone. Someone once said that Christians are like fertilizer. Pile them up in one place long enough, and they'll begin to stink. But spread them out and they'll do some good. Oh, yeah. Got to spread those Christians out. We need to get more involved in kingdom work. There are people out there who need our help. They don't know how to pray. They don't know what to do. They know they need a Savior. They know they need Jesus. They don't know how to go about it. It's our job. It's our honor that we can go to the Lord and go to these people and say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm going to hold you up in prayer this week. I'm going to call your name in prayer every day. I'm going to lift you up by name to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, they're going to like it. You're going to get their attention just by doing that. Hallelujah. I want to read something from the Bible, Mark chapter 25, verse 31. This is a powerful word of God. It applies to us this very day. Don't take this lightly. I'm sorry, it's Matthew 25. There is no 25. Matthew 25. Start at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another. As a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, he will put the sheep on his right, on the right, and goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came and visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatsoever you did for one of the least of these my brothers of mine, you did it for me. Whatever you have done for the least of these my brethren, you have done it for me. When you put a warm coat on somebody on a cold day, you've just put that coat on Jesus. When you give somebody something to eat, you have just given Jesus something to eat. When you give somebody a cold drink on a hot day, you have just given Jesus Christ, the Son of God, a cold drink on a hot day. Because he said, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me. I encourage you to get out there. We're not a fishbowl here. This is not an aquarium where we just all come in here. This is not a country club where we just all come in here, pat each other on the back, and say, okay, we're done for this week. My God, if that's the case, then we're going to switch up. Jerry put a sign out here going out of the parking lot. It says, you are now entering the mission field. When you leave this parking lot, you are entering into the mission field. Look for it. Ask God to show you somebody that you can minister to this week. I'd like for everyone to stand. Bow your heads. If you would, close your eyes. No moving around right now. No leaving the room. No talking, please. This is God's time. And we need to honor God right now. There might be someone here this morning that you don't know Jesus Christ. And we've already established that you can't be good enough to go to heaven by your good works. You're never going to be good enough. But Jesus was good enough. He was the perfect Lamb of God who laid down his life for you. And if you're here this morning and you have never, ever known this one named Jesus, you've never asked him to come into your life, raise your hand because I would like to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This morning could be the best day of the rest of your life. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He knows everything that you have done. And I mean, I don't care how bad it was. I don't care. It doesn't matter how bad. He's seen it. He watched you do it. And he's saying to you this morning, I love you and I want you for my own. And I'll forgive you of every sin. I will wash you white as snow. And you can be as ready for heaven this morning as if you were already there. Is there anyone this morning, you will raise your hand and you would say, I want to know this one named Jesus. I want to meet him. I need him in my life because with him, he will wash away your every sin and he will give you eternal life. 10 million years from now, you're going to be somewhere. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be in hell. What your choice this morning. But the most important thing is to tell you that Jesus loves you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. Is there anyone this morning? You'll raise your hand. I challenge you. I feel so strongly that there's someone here. You're thinking, I need to raise my hand, but I've never done anything like this before. Everyone in this building that is a Christian at one time did this very same thing. We raised our hand. We walked down the aisle. We gave our hearts to Jesus Christ. And this morning, it's not a mistake that you're here. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not. God knew before the foundations of the world that you would be in this building this morning. But what are you going to do about it? Let me ask you this morning, what are you going to do with Jesus Christ? Will you receive him this morning or will you reject him? The choice is yours. Right now, you can come up to the altar and be gloriously saved. Oh, he loves you. He wants to come into your life and give you abundant life. He wants to give you power to get over different difficult situations in your life. He wants to give you joy and happiness. Yes, there'll be days where you'll have bad days. I don't want to make it sound like that, you know, you're just going to float around on a bed of ease. But you know what? Even on your worst day as a Christian will be better than your best day as a sinner. Anybody this morning, just raise your hand. I'll pray with you. I would like to introduce you to Jesus this morning. Anyone this morning? I don't want to rush this. Oh, he loves you. He loves you. He's not mad at you. Anyone? Is there anyone here this morning that maybe you're in a backslidden condition? You used to know the Lord. You used to serve him. But somehow you've grown cold. You walked away from him. And now you'd like to come back to him. And you'd like to serve him for the rest of your life. If you're here this morning and you're in that situation, raise your hand. We'll pray for you. We're not in a hurry. You know, the Lord reminds me of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son left home in the father's house. He left. And went out seeking fame and fortune and having a good wild time. But then he found himself in a pig pen in trouble. And he said, I wonder if my father will take me back. And he got about almost to the house and he looked and there was his father waiting for him. Ran toward him and welcomed him home and put the robe on him and the ring. Welcomed his son home, and that's what God would do for you. If there's any need of any kind this morning, if you need prayer for healing, if you need prayer for anything this morning, these altars are open. Please come forward. We'll pray for you because Jesus is in the house this morning. And I don't want to rush this. I want you to remember, take this home with you. Jesus loves you. And if you don't pray this morning, and maybe you're out somewhere and all of a sudden you're just like, I need this one named Jesus. All you have to do is bow your head, close your eyes, and say, Jesus, I need you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And you know what? He will do it. He will be there. He will come into your heart and life. It's just that simple. And the Bible says that the angels rejoice when one sinner comes home. Just one. Father, thank you so much, God, for the service. I thank you, God, for each one that is here this morning. I ask you, dear God, that if there's anyone here, Father, that didn't make a commitment to you, but they wanted to, Lord, that you would just continue to deal with them. Help them to know that you love them, Lord, and that you're not mad at them, and that you want them for your very own. And Lord, I just thank you, Father. I just pray over this congregation that you will watch over us and keep us safe and bring us back at the next appointed time, Father, in Jesus' name.